Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you missed the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, we've got a bit of a short team on the show today, but everyone's here, but not on the show today. We've got Tanya, who's there. She's just recently started college, so she's had some quite intensive college commitments over the last week. And I believe our Tony's been out doing his stuff in Worthing and what have you. But hey, we're still going to put on a show. We've still got some great content as normal, haven't we, Stephen?
We have. You've still got the three of us, don't you? So you've got me, you and Josh this week.
Yeah.
Yes.
The famous three.
The three stooges.
The three stooges, yeah.
So how is everyone? How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm okay. As always, life is busy. The weather's beginning to change. So it's kind of, we're just trying to get those last few days of summer. But things are good.
Mm-hmm. It's been quite nice, hasn't it? It's autumnal now, isn't it?
Autumnal, kind of, yes.
Fresh, but nice, clear skies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your good self, Sue?
Yes, I've been super busy as normal, but I'm just getting quite, I'm trying to think, I say this every time I come on the show, the months are just going flying by, and we are going to be talking about World AIDS Day, aren't we, obviously, in the coming shows, and I'm thinking it just feels at the moment like it was last month, it was last year, World AIDS Day. That's how I feel. The time has gone so sort of this year's been swept away with what's been going on.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Josh?
Well, yes. Time not stood still, did it? It's just very strange to when you think back at events and it doesn't seem real at all, does it? So
yeah,
I'm all right. I'm not too bad. I've just completed on my flat, so which is great news. Mm-hmm. But I'm basically homeless at the moment.
Ooh.
Which is a bit bizarre. Yes, but it's all right. I'm getting there. I keep saying that. So that's
And you are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think I'm going slightly mad.
aren't we all in this world we live in, Stephen? Aren't we all?
We sure are. Yeah, definitely.
But you know what? We were just thinking of some of the things that have just been happening within the HIV world and what's around us, and there's been some really astonishing things, groundbreaking things that have just been going on. I mean, one of the things, I don't know whether you guys read it the other day, but it says that the government has finally announced the removal of a discriminatory blood donation restriction in England has presented a significant barrier to more Black people donating blood products. Now, I don't know this sits really nicely. Obviously, we're commemorating Black History Month, aren't we, October?
Yes.
So
yes.
This has come in, it's a bit late coming in, but it's come in, that we always welcome changes to things, don't we?
Mm-hmm. We do, yeah.
Yeah.
And it must be, it's these things that have been with us for a while, and we forget how, these things, they keep us down, don't they, these kind of restrictions. So it's good when they get lifted.
Yeah. Just quickly go back to that. It says that, the MPs and activists have said the existing guidelines were discriminatory, of course they were, and have no scientific bias. Blood donation rules include a 3-month restriction on donating for anyone in England who has a partner who has or think they may have been sexually active in parts of the world where HIV is very common. And the reference is most countries in Africa. So, yeah, there's still some stuff to be done, but, you know, it's another step forward, I suppose. And I think that's what we've got to look at, isn't it, guys?
It's eliminating those barriers, isn't it?
Yes.
For people.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's important that people know that there aren't going to be those restrictions and those guidelines for people. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. No, you carry on, Josh.
It's all small steps, isn't it? And progression forward, like Stephen said. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to make a very basic example. You know, people that are not HIV positive or in a community where, you know, screening and blood, you know, all of those things. I have a very good friend, my friend Linda, and she's been going for years just to have her, you know, donating blood. That's a little bit she does and thinks nothing of it. And that's how it should be, shouldn't it, guys, for anyone? You know, that it's the scientific evidence we have to constantly look at. And, you know, she goes along, she has, I'll always take the mickey out of, oh, you're going for your cup of tea and custard creams, you know, today. But it's just one of those things. And that's how it should be, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
That's how it should be for everybody. That was the point I was trying, the crossover point I was trying to make, yeah.
And it's attached to stigma, isn't it? So, and that's why it needs to be looked at, and which is good. Which is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what else is on the show then? This fair evening.
You've got some good stuff from the Martin Fisher Foundation, haven't you?
Yes. Martin Fisher Foundation is a local organisation, isn't it, in Brighton. And they've got a lot of HIV testing vending machines. They started, I think it's about 5 now in Brighton, the Brighton area. So the new one was being installed in the Jubilee Library in Brighton. Mm. So it was their event on last week. So I went along and it was good. It's great to see the vending machine being looked at. It's right in the middle of the library. As you walk into the library, so it's very, very, very visual. And,
yeah.
You know, you can't. And so I just, yeah, exactly. And I just recorded the speeches. There was
great.
So I asked a few people what they thought of it. So we'll listen to that later.
That was that was one of the things that Winnie from the UniAIDS, she visited, she absolutely was literally downfall, you know, but these machines, she just thought it was absolutely amazing. Mm. So, yeah, fantastic. We should be proud.
It is when you think about it, isn't it? You know, it's so easy now to access these things. Mm. You know, all of us can remember how difficult it was in the past, you know, so it's great, isn't it, that things are changing in that way.
And also, you know, because there's lots of people who don't want to still have their confidentiality and they don't want to be don't want their identity known. So I think it helps in that respect, and that's what some of the people were saying in the, the speeches and the people who are at the event as well. So I will say that the recording is a bit it's in the library, so I will apologise for the recording, but I've done my best to edit it as best I can.
Sure our listeners will appreciate, you know, what we're doing in certain circumstances. I'm sure that we always get great feedback, don't we, anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. And for you, Sue, what else we...
I've got a little bit of a story. It's from Zimbabwe, and it's about an amazing... project that has been going, I didn't realize, since 1919. It's called GALS, and I'm just going to sort of talk a little bit about that, which is it's phenomenal what they're doing over there, and I was sort of quite taken back, so I'm just going to have a little talk about that as well, which is really interesting.
Mm.
And we've got our usual our new feature, which is proving popular, is our minute roundup.
Mm-hmm. Minute roundup of what's going on around the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the HIV Hour. And next we have a story from Sue.
Thanks for that, Stephen. Really interesting project I never knew existed, and it's from Zimbabwe. And it's based on an interview from SMTV Zimbabwe, and it's Samuel Matstuski, and he's the project manager of GALS. And I'm gonna pronounce that because you can Google it and get more information on it. It's GALZ, and it's LGBTI persons. That's how they're sort of pronouncing it. And basically, it's an association, and it was first formed in the 90s, which I didn't realize how long that was. And basically it's where the gay and lesbian, and he was talking about it was not just gay and lesbian, it's anyone that identifies as being anyone. So basically it's so GALS, the way he says this is quite gorgeous, actually. GALS, he sort of pronounces it quite lovely. I just that's it. Established in 1990, so it's been going for quite some years. And you'd think, you know, and if we think about it, guys, in some parts of the world it's actually illegal to be gay. I think we all recognise that, or any, you know, gay, bisexual, anything really. Mm-hmm. So for this to be going in Zimbabwe, which is, you know, one of the South African countries, which is quite amazing. And he talks about, you know, it's where people have been disowned, they can come together and share informative information. It's a way of connecting, and I can really understand that. What's also interesting, that GALS have also partnershiped up with the NFA, which is a football organisation, with UNICEF. And it's to do with partnership with sports coaches, and they do outreach to empower girls from age 9 to 15. Now, if you look at some of the stats in South Africa, okay, 550 young women between the age of 15 to 24 are being diagnosed every day with HIV. So, I don't think we realise the extent of, you know, and the prevalence of HIV in Zimbabwe or other parts of South Africa. So it was just a really interesting project I just wanted to sort of mention. And if anyone wants to get any more information on that, because I Googled it before we came on there, and there's some really great information, and some of the work they do with communities is just absolutely outstanding. So, yeah, I thought I'd just bring that on the HIV Hour for something.
Yes.
Yeah, informative.
Good story. Interesting.
So closer to home, though, there's been is there a video from Terence Higgins Trust who've released a video?
It just came out today, didn't it, Stephen?
So it's got people like Russell T. Davis and Ollie Alexander all talking about funding for HIV and you know, to get us to that 2030, you know, point where we are free from, you know, HIV and AIDS, you know, from new infections. So so it's great to see these big names getting behind. You know, Elton John as well is in the video.
Yes, Elton John.
So, so yeah, some good names there getting behind it. And it'll be, hopefully it will push the government to see that funding is definitely needed to make this happen.
Yeah, I think they're really sort of calling on the government to make some changes. And that's why these big people have come together. And also, in there's a video, you can get it if you want to go onto the Terence Higgins Trust, a fantastic video. You've also got some everyday people who are living with HIV who also take part in this video. Isn't that right, Stephen? So, you know, they're talking from, you know, I live with HIV.
Personal experience, yeah.
Exactly. And they're calling on Rishi, what's, I can't pronounce
Rishi
it.
Sunak.
Rishi Sunak.
To literally, that really calling on to your account that this, we, and the thing is, we can do something about it. We have the tools to do something, but we need the help of the government. We need resources. Yeah. We need money. We can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, the charities out there, we just need the money, the resources to end. And, you know, we can end HIV transmission by 2030. So if any of our listeners would like to listen to that video, do go onto the Terence Higgins Trust website. And then Russell Davis, he's amazing. And you can hear the full video.
It's a gentle reminder, isn't it? It's just a gentle reminder to say that, you know, still things happening. I don't know if anyone watches Drag Race UK, because have you watched it?
Yeah.
So the guy on their charity case. Yeah, he came out and said he had HIV on the show this week, which was quite good to listen to, isn't it? Get the message out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah, it's great to see. It's another reason for people to be talking about it, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Can't say.
No, I'm just going to say, so I was doing a talk in a school the other day, and one of the kids said to me, I think she was 16, she said, because we speak about how we want to, what our target is, what our mission is to end HIV transmission by 2030. And she said to me, she said, one of the questions was, how do you think we're going to do that by 2030? What do we need to do? And I said, well, first of all, if you're sexually active, you should be testing. So you look after your own, that's the first thing. And we're trying to get people to have conversations, to be open, to normalise testing and lots of settings. But it was just, you know, a young 15-year-old girl was really intrigued on how are we going to do this? One of the things, we're calling on government to account. That's one of the other things as well. Yeah. So, yeah, just sort of reminded me that this young girl had who asked me, how are we going to do that? So, yeah.
And that's brilliant, because it just leads into our next thing with Martin Fisher Foundation.
97.2 FM. Radio Reverb.
Yes. Martin Fisher Foundation is a local organisation, isn't it, in Brighton. And they've got HIV testing vending machines. They've started, I think it's about five now in Brighton. The Brighton area. So the new one was being installed in the Jubilee Library in Brighton. It was their event on last week. So I went along, and it was good. It's great to see the vending machine being looked at. It's right in the middle of the library as you walk into the library. So it's very, very, very visual. Yeah, exactly. And I just recorded the speeches. There was
great.
So I asked a few people what they thought of it.
On behalf of the Martin Fisher Foundation, welcome. But we're just going to tell you a little bit about, personally, the history of the machine, but also just sort of the lay of the land and why we're doing all of this. Lloyd, would you like to start with that?
thank you very much. I think that this machine really is partly at the forefront of what really the HIV Commission recommended, which is, to boil it down to three words, test, test, test. I know I've probably stolen that particular style of phrase from one of our previous leaders, but in this case, it is what is the fundamentals to try and reach that target of zero transmissions by 2030. And here in the city, there's lots of things happening, and I'm really actually rather pleased that we have shown some real leadership. But this is one of the steps in that. accessible testing that normalizes the process of HIV testing. And I was just saying, that's why I think it's actually quite nice that it's in the middle of the lobby rather than hidden around in some place, because we're only going to tackle that, is one of the Commission things that said. And, of course, the other thing the Commission talked about was some of the stigma. And so actually destigmatizing the process of getting tested is also so important. Now, we can do all the great things here in Brighton, and it was really great when Winnie came. It was one of the things that she said to Peter and I and others, that she was really taken by the machine. She said to me, I think you were there, Peter, as well, that she said, I didn't really think I'd learn anything from this visit. It would just be another one of those visits where you've got to be polite and smile and nod. And she said, actually, I've really come away with some real points that we can start to take to the developing world. And we can do all of that, and that's really great, and really a beacon of Brighton, but we also need some of that government-coordinated action, because the other thing, of course, the Commission said is the services are too fragmented. The reliance, of course, not just with the split of public health being in councils and primary care being commissioned separately, but actually just more broadly, services in terms of care were too fragmented, and government needed action and an action plan to do that. And that's something Peter and I and others in the APPG for HIV and AIDS cross-party continue to push the government on, whether it's looking at stigma, whether it's looking at how particularly it affects BAME communities, or whether our previous reports around mental health. That's something that we feel we need to keep putting the government's feet to the fire about their resources they've put behind this, and also the coordination and leadership that they show. But I think that's enough about that. Really, we're here to say fantastic work to the Martin Fitch Foundation, fantastic work to Jill and the team for actually making this a reality, and to some extent, making Brighton proud that we are again a leader in really tackling some of these issues.
I'm Peter Kyle, a Member of Parliament for Hove and Portslade, the other side of town. No, I'm just here to show my support for everything the Martin Fisher Foundation has done. I'm very, very aware when I come to events like this that I'm just part of a sort of long timeline of people who've been campaigning for a very, very long time for moments like this. I'm pleased that we've got Baroness Joyce Gould over here, who, you know, Joyce, when you started engaging in the debate and the campaigns for tackling AIDS, HIV, this moment must have felt not just like a distant dream, it must have just felt like a different world altogether.
That's right.
I'm very aware that I'm just here to support people who've been doing this work for a very long time. Martin Fisher himself was an incredibly important part of the fabric of HIV and AIDS support in our city. His name continues. The fact that we now have something which is so accessible and so much part of our life, even though the role of libraries has changed as society moves forward, it is still a place that just feels like a place where we come together as a community, different ages, different backgrounds, and different people coming together to do different things under one roof. So the fact that this is now part of that kind of environment is just so incredibly important. We're also now entering the era, hopefully, where we'll be past in the post-main pandemic phase. We've all learned about communicative diseases and the response and public health response to it. I hope that our greater knowledge of testing and the importance of testing, our greater knowledge of personal responsibility and the impact that personal action takes on keeping other people and our greater community safe, and the people we love safe, and the people we come into contact with safe, I hope that greater knowledge and the normalisation that testing plays in that function is something that we can now take forward into this. So it's almost as if this is one of the very few areas where, after an unmitigatedly difficult thing we've all been through together as a country and a globe, that the timing of landing this particular innovation in our community is something I hope will play positively into the way we rebound from the public health crisis that we're just going through. So I'm full of admiration for what you're doing. I know this is just the first steps, to it, and I know that as society moves forward and the way we tackle HIV and AIDS going forward, you will move with the times because that's who you are and it's in your DNA. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So I just wanted to give you a bit of sort of the background and the story about how we got to here. So, you know, with all this has been the perfect project in lots of ways. It's the perfect project for me and my colleagues who've worked so hard. So what it came from the community, the idea, right in Sorno. There were people there who didn't test because they didn't want to give all that information. They didn't want to give their names. They didn't want to interact with the outreach workers. So they wanted a more anonymous way of testing. We thought, okay, well, we just put a pile of tests on the counter then, and Bob's your uncle. But what we found then is that people were taking them and selling them because they were sort of worth about £30-35. So, and we weren't really getting anything back in terms of who's testing. So we were fortunate enough to get an HIV, Public Health England HIV Innovations Grant, which allowed us to take this idea forward and to have the pilot machine, which went into the sauna. And again, massive thanks to Paul, because you really worked through a lot of the teething problems of the pilot. You've really worked with us and been amazing throughout all of that, and have come up with more ideas as time's gone on. So that was just bending HIV self-tests to begin with, and it was a real success, because just having the machine there in the foyer of the sauna meant that people were thinking about HIV and talking about HIV and starting conversations that they wouldn't have had before. And so, you know, an unexpected advantage of it being there was that it was tackling stigma as well as getting people to test. So after that, we were supported by Janssen, Gilead, and the Elton John AIDS Foundation, and we were able to purchase another 5 machines, which we then put out in and around Kemp Town. And that was fairly successful, although, because we're a very small charity, we did have to have a small charge for the test, £9.99, and they're like £30 in the shops, and really people don't like paying for HIV tests. I think that's what we found out from that piece of work. During that period of time, we applied for a BNJ award, and we were awarded the Innovation Prize in 2018. And it was included in the WHO Compendium of Good Practice as well. So we were being recognised even back then, and that was really heartwarming, wasn't it? So as you say, COVID actually, you know, the silver linings gave us an opportunity to take the machines that were out in the community and work on them to then bend HIV to bend STI tests as well. And this was based on evaluation that we'd done from the sauna, which showed that A, people would really like to test for sexual health as well, but also that if people tested negative for HIV, that they had a sort of a false sense of security and maybe thought that everything was going to be negative. So that wasn't quite what we were hoping to achieve in any way. So thanks to University Hospital Sussex and the ongoing support of the council for commissioning the tests, we then developed the machines, and during coronavirus, we've been able to fit this one, and one at the Wellesbourne Centre in Whitehawk, and one at Wish Park Surgery. So good spread across the whole city, and then soon to refit the one back in the sauna, and one at the BMECP Centre actually as well. So we feel we've got a really good spread across the city.
So that was great. Welcome back to the HIV Hour. Just listened to some of the speeches about the new vending machine in the Jubilee Library. Just going to ask a few people what they thought.
I think it's superb, putting it right in the middle of the library. So there's no stigma about going and collecting a test and getting yourself tested. And I think that's important, that we end stigma.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. And to see how the advancements has been made in a very short space of time, really, but the idea that people can have this sort of privacy to be able to test and get the results so simply and easily, I think it's absolutely wonderful.
And it's great for Brighton as well, isn't it?
I absolutely. I mean, Brighton became the United Nations city, and because of the fact that we are way ahead of many, many other cities in the country. Don't get the publicity that we might or we should, I often feel, but you know, it's great because we've got a fantastic team of people working in the HIV field. I mean, they are tremendous and dedicated and devoted to actually make all the changes, all the improvements, and to, you know, get all the diagnosis, the treatment and everything up to the highest possible level.
So I'm with Ben, who's the general manager of the Brighton Sauna, who has one of the vendor machines. So what do you think of the new vendor machine, Ben?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's really, really interesting to be able to test for STIs as well as HIV testing as well. I think it's brilliant.
And so on it then. So are there any groups that have benefited from having the vending machine at the sauna?
Groups as in...
So bisexual men or...
Yes. We have, well, a high percentage of my clientele, of our clientele, are heterosexual, bisexual men who are living, I suppose, a secret life, and they want to feel that they can sort of take a test home. And I think that the majority of the people regarding their sexuality would be bisexual, heterosexual men that are able to take the test home and test home themselves, or test with us in the sauna, because we're all of my staff and my team and I, we're all well trained and able to answer any questions that they might have.
Great.
For that, so.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Julie Montgomery. I'm a trustee of the Martin Fisher Foundation, and it's an absolutely fantastic charity to be part of. Love it because it's innovative, it changes all the time, it's tackling different difficult subjects like stigma, and the vending machine is such a brilliant idea because it means it's accessible for everyone, and the most important thing is the tests are free.
I think putting an SDI vending machine in a public place like a library is fantastic innovation, and really to allow people to take control and responsibility for their own sexual health is fantastic, and to do it as a vending machine it's user friendly, people can access it, and it removes the stigma of going to sexual health clinic.
Radio Reverb.
Try something different.
So should we do the mini roundup, our little world roundup? Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. No. I'll jump in there and go first. Because this story is, it really interested me. It comes from Uganda. And Uganda Community Initiative is helping HIV patients overcome depression. So in Gulu, Uganda, Margaret was engulfed by depression and overwhelmed by stigma with little motivation for life, as she struggled to adjust to living with HIV whilst pregnant. She contemplated death. She would lock herself in the house every day, and she wanted to kill herself and her child because she thought she was no longer useful in this life and she didn't want her child to suffer as she did, she says. Now, her village in northern Uganda started a community-based counselling group, and it's helping people living with HIV by providing therapy to help them overcome mental health conditions and adjusting to life living with a chronic infection. It can be difficult, and people with HIV face a greater risk of developing mental disorders and depression and anxiety, amongst the other things that they face. So Margaret credits this counselling group for her survival, and she really speaks out really highly about this group, saying that she would not be here and she would not be alive today, and neither would her child, if it hadn't been for the help that this group had given her community, and she's now working as somebody that is helping other people, other families, to be educated and to be informed about how you can live with HIV and how it's not a death sentence. So I just thought that was a really positive story from Uganda this week.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Thank you, Stephen. I'll go next. This is from Canada. So an Ottawa project uses artificial intelligence to get COVID tests to those who are hard to reach. So this is from a health nurse practitioner called Patrick O'Brien, who began working on a plan to mail HIV self-testing kits to people who might face barriers getting into the clinic for testing. So this is when the pandemic hit, it shut down or restricted many HIV testing clinics. That work became very urgent. So O'Brien and his team used artificial intelligence developed by the program to identify those who would benefit most. And the program was so successful that Health Canada contacted O'Brien earlier this year to ask whether the artificial intelligence and the program could be adapted to COVID-19 testing as part of a pilot program.
And it could, and it was, and they've been using it for a while. So O'Brien, who continues to work for Ottawa Public Health in his sexual health clinic, in addition to teaching, said both programs are close to his heart. The COVID-19 testing program uses the same platform as the HIV program, but instead it sends COVID-19 rapid tests to people in identified high-risk groups, adapting the algorithm to the pandemic. The program has 8,000 self-tests to distribute, and as with the HIV program, the COVID-19 test program is a learning experience for researchers and public health experts and could help inform them for future pandemics. The HIV program identified positive cases at the rate of 5 times higher than through traditional testing, suggesting it assists people who might otherwise be missed. So things have come out from, it's good to see how other things can inspire other ways of doing things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What about you, Sue? What's yours?
Well, I don't know whether you guys have known, but our Gareth Thomas was out and about this week. Gareth Thomas has hailed the bravery and positively of fellow HIV campaigner Becky Mitchell, who joined forces with the former Wales International at the weekend to run the Royal Parks Half Marathon. Now, as part of his Tackle HIV campaign, Gareth and Becky completed the challenge with a team of campaign supporters, some of whom are HIV positive, to raise awareness and understanding to help address the stigma that continues to exist with HIV. Now, Gareth and Becky, and actually, I don't know whether you guys remember Sally Gunnell. She was an Olympic gold runner some years ago. Don't ask me what year it was. I know I should know because I'm probably as old as her, but I can't remember.
Ages, wasn't it?
Yeah. So she actually took part in the race as well. So Gary, Becky and the Tackle HIV team wanted to demonstrate that living with HIV is not a barrier to achieving anything, and they certainly proved that on the day. He goes on to say, I think Becky is representing in this team is the diversity of people living with HIV, because there is such a stigma against women who live with HIV, said Gareth. Now, I know Becky Mitchell. She got an MBE last year, actually, and I've done lots of campaigning with Becky, so I know who they're talking about. And Gareth goes on to say, I can only empathise with Bex, as he calls her. I can't imagine what it is like because I can't experience that. I think what Becky's proudly represents is the diversity of people and the understanding that it's not just a gay men or Black African men or Black African women that are living with HIV. And there's a fabulous picture of them all, and those Sally Gunnell's there. And yeah, it's just a heartwarming story I just wanted to share with everybody.
That's great.
Fabulous. So, it's interesting to get these stories from around the world. I think if any of the listeners are listening from countries as well, that we might be interested in telling stories as well. They can always contact us, can't they?
Yeah, and absolutely.
Like places in Eastern Europe or something like that, that'd be to get a different perspective of how HIV is there and how people live there. So it's hiv@gmail.com, isn't it?
Brilliant, yes. We look forward to hearing from you.
It's great to see how many big names are getting behind different projects, isn't it? From Gareth Thomas to Elton John. It's just really good to see big names out there talking about HIV.
Brilliant. Great.
So also, we've got, just to let our listeners know, that we had some funding, didn't we, from a local organisation called Brighton Soup.
Yeah.
And so we were very pleased with them and thank them a lot. But they're doing another a round of it, actually, and that's tomorrow. So that's the 15th of October. So we're just going to do a shout out to them. What you do is you Zoom, don't you? Log on to the Zoom.
Do.
Yeah. I think it's £4 a ticket.
Yeah.
And you listen to all the pictures. So there'll be three or four, maybe, I don't know how many pictures this year, of different projects. projects, yeah, and then you vote for the one you like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested, you can go to their website to get tickets, and that's brightonsuit.org.uk, tickets/office/online/.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can contact for more information, go to kaz@brightonsoup.org.uk. So that is tomorrow evening at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so great. And thank you, Brighton Soup, for our lovely piece of funding that we got. So it's a really well worth initiative.
Yes.
Definitely.
So that's it. Well, another amazing show.
Done, yes.
End of another show.
A double tick. Oh.
Yes.
And
yes.
Some of our listeners are asking, Josh, when are we back in the studio? And we are yawning.
The only thing I can say is just watch the space and it is a different way of doing things, isn't it? I think like this. But we're getting out there, and that's the main thing.
We're managing, yeah. We're coping.
Well, great to see everyone. And yes, tune in again next week.
Well, hope you all have a really good week. And we will hopefully, I was going to say see you soon. Can we say see you soon, Josh, on the radio?
Well, we do say see you, don't we? Because we're Zooming, aren't we? So,
yeah.
We can sort of see you soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Night.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.